Hello, I'm Sean.
I'm Justin.
And you're listening to episode 7 of our The Dot Matrix podcast. And actually, thinking of number 7, that's kind of lucky for us because we're both born on the 7th.
That's true.
And your birthday just passed.
My birthday did just pass.
Oh, well, we will get to that, of course.
We will get to that.
But I know you have a list of topics. I have a few in my head.
Good, yeah.
I didn't write any notes, but I know.
Only one topic, but various themes on the same topic, so.
Excellent, excellent.
But we're doing this podcast on a Tuesday evening after work for both of
us.
We're doing our 9-to-5 whistle jobs, you know. I tried to whistle, it didn't work.
All aboard.
Like the Flintstones at the beginning when he pulls the bird's tail. Anyways, I was going to say that's an obscure reference, but it's not an obscure reference.
No,
it's
not really.
Flintstones.
Known to billions, yeah.
Yes. Billions. But it's a different thing. It's the first one since the clocks moved forward an hour, and so it's still bright outside. It's almost 7 in the evening. And
that's right.
And I took a cramped SkyTrain out here, which was new for me. I don't usually do that.
Wind in your hair.
I have a beer in my system, so I'll be talking a little bit more loose.
Yeah.
Given that I'm Asian and short, I really don't hold my liquor very well. So, you know, we'll see what comes out.
Yeah, you did come across a little dazed coming through the door today.
Right, yes.
Oh, no, that's really cool. Well, I'm glad you had a good time after work.
Yeah, well, very rarely do I have drinks after work, but this time I did. So
excellent.
It was nice change.
Good to hear.
But you said you wanted to say a few things before we got started.
Oh, well, actually,
inconsequential things, as you said before we recorded.
You know, and I don't even really know what that means, but actually the inconsequential was the thing about our birthdays.
Ah, yes.
I think the only thing I'll add to that is kind of like, for years now, you've been on March 7th, I've been June 7th.
Yeah, it hasn't changed, ironically.
No. You're right, it hasn't changed. And
it's
remarkably,
been for years.
Yes.
Almost boring.
But as the years go by, I always think of when something related to number 7, sort of like John Lennon had this kind of manic obsession with number 9.
Okay.
And everything, you know, he was born on the 9th. And there was other things to do with the number 9 that he always kind of took notice of, and
69? Just kidding, that's a bit.
No.
That's awful,
maybe,
I'm sorry.
You know,
that's
it was
really
the 60s,
offensive.
So. But, so when I think the 7th, something happens on the 7th, or something happens on my birthday, like of another year, or even before I was born, I always think the 7th, I think you're the 7th, and other friends of ours in the past have had birthdays on the 7th.
Yes, yeah.
So, I don't know, I always kind of, it's something I notice. Something I think is kind of, I've had this kind of thing with the number 7 that maybe other people don't have with their birthdays, but I do. Like, I couldn't feel the same about the 29th. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, it's because people think lucky number 7, I don't know.
Well, 7 is one of those numbers that people tend to say is a lucky number, and I think a lot of people have an affinity to their, to the number that is their birthday number, you know? And,
yeah.
And yeah, I've always found 7 to be rather lucky myself. I don't know why. I mean, not that I can point to something that happened that involved the number 7 that was really lucky, you know?
Right.
So, but yeah, if I got like a hockey jersey, I'd probably get a number 7 on the back. Like,
exactly.
You know, that sort of thing, right?
Yeah, exactly. If I had to tattoo a number on me, it'd probably be number 7.
More importantly, where would that tattoo be?
I haven't decided. Actually, I don't think I would ever get a tattoo. I don't even know what I'd do. Probably Marilyn Monroe or something.
My body is just too perfect to be drawn.
Yeah, no one wants to mess with that piece of art.
And apologies, I am sniffling a little bit, so you may hear that in the podcast. I don't know how you're feeling. Is Elaine feeling sick at all?
She's better now.
And she hugged Tara.
As did I.
And I actually, that night, I got really bad sniffles. And I called her the next day, I'm like, I've got another cold,
to
you.
Oh,
but it's the colds that I manage no problem, because it's like an allergy and you just get sniffles.
Yeah, it's not
a
big deal.
Like, I've been sick for the last week and a half before that, and this massive head cold, and it just squeezes your brain every time you sneeze, and that I just, it just took me out for a week and a half. I was on as I was going to say on my bed, and I'm going to say on my couch, which you would laugh at because I'm on my couch all day. But there's nothing wrong with being on my couch
all day.
At home. But the worst thing is, because I work from home at times, like, I was sick like crazy, but I still did work. So, which is good that I was still able to be productive and I'm not too behind, but, you know, you don't get to rest fully and recover faster, right?
But you started to get better when you went to Las Vegas, which you'll tell us about, right?
Yes, well, I actually got better before that,
okay.
The week before, and then I did a day-long babysitting session for my niece, and then I got sick promptly right after that again, and then... Not that she got me sick, I just was overexerting myself, you know, doing a lot of holding and a lot of cradling,
yeah.
And which was, you know, I'd do it again.
Rolling around
obviously.
On the floor. And...
Yes. And then I was sick for another couple of days, just on the couch, like, really, for the entire day.
Wow.
And then Wednesday morning, I was feeling better, thank God, and worked the morning, and then I took a 4:05 flight to Vegas on Wednesday, so and then I was Wednesday to Friday, so literally a day and a half in Vegas. Of course, it's funny because I think it's kind of anticlimactic doing the podcast because, you know, I mean, I just had a birthday, as you said, Sean, and we had a bit of a get together on Sunday, and I was telling a lot of people, and first time I saw some of my colleagues today. So I was telling a bunch of people my stories of Vegas. So it's almost anticlimactic to sort of say it all now. But I will...
We'll pick the best
couple,
you know.
And you have to tell us about San Francisco, because last time we did the podcast, we talked about you going to San Francisco.
Yes.
So we have to get the debrief on that. But,
cool.
I mean, there's a couple things I'll say about Vegas. Because, and I think that's sort of the theme of our podcast today, is our various adventures in tourism.
Indeed.
Our various adventures in tourism.
that sounds like adventures in babysitting. But...
I was gonna say, yeah. reference for those who know that movie from. And so I don't know if it's a popular. Is that a popular movie?
I think it was kind of a.
It's kind of
in its day.
Yeah. Wasn't that Elizabeth Shue? Wasn't she?
I
that babysitter.
Couldn't tell you. I don't remember.
Oh right, you're the one who knows nothing about actors.
Yeah, as Elaine would always say, you'd be surprised actually, but. When it counts, my memory blanks. That's why I know the name, but yeah, I couldn't tell you.
That's the result of many years of opium. But anyways,
yes.
So Vegas, I mean, I had in Vegas was probably one of the most fun, just unadulterated fun kind
yeah,
of energy.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, you've been to Vegas.
Yeah.
Once or twice, I think.
Once,
okay.
Yeah.
And did you pass through, or were you there for a little bit of time? Because I can't remember. So
we were there for 4 days.
Okay, wow,
yeah.
4 days, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It was awesome, yeah. Actually, 4 days, I was like, this is good, I don't need, like, some people stay for a week, and I was just like, no, 4 days did me.
Well, I hear 4 or 3 days are is perfect for Vegas. I was there for a day and a half, which was a bit short, but I still got
you've been.
No, this is my first
time. That was your first time?
That was my first time, yes.
Maybe I'm confused with someone else. Which rarely happens, people. Never. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I thought you had at least passed through, no?
No, never. And I had a big family birthday party, not for myself, but for my aunt, whose birthday is on the 29th of February. So whenever the February 29th comes around, we have a big celebration. And
it's only every 4 years.
Every 4 years, yeah. and so she, and all my cousins were saying, you're a Vegas virgin? Really? You've never been? So I'm like, oh, okay. And
wow.
So they knew I was going to be there for a day and a half, so they told me, just don't sleep, drink Red Bull, and just
go
to town.
Yeah.
But my travels to get to Vegas and my travels to get out of Vegas were probably the most horrendous travel experiences
really?
I had. Yeah.
Oh, crap.
And, I mean, I told the story a few times on Sunday, but I don't know if you were there to hear it. But but basically, the plane, as it was taxiing out, got into a little incident. So within 5 seconds of the plane trying to back up, I mean, you would have freaked out.
I would have lost
it. How you are with planes. But it backed out for like 5 seconds, and within 5 seconds, it just jolted, like crazy jolted. And everyone went back, and then forward, and then back in their seat.
Oh.
And you heard a crunchle.
No! I'd be like, I'm off of this plane.
And then the plane just stops. Apparently the flight attendant injured her hand because the cart wasn't locked in place yet, and it smacked against her hand. They had to bring out stairs, and we all had to climb down the plane, off the plane, back up into the terminal, onto the tarmac, up to the terminal, and the plane, what happened was that there's a little car that pushes the plane out. So So the plane backs up. And the car was not attached properly to the plane, so it punctured something.
God!
And so I was flying on Aeroplan, so my points. And so I was going Vancouver, Calgary, Calgary, Vegas.
Right. Which is really logical.
Of course. And so I'm like, if my plane's going to be delayed an hour, I'm not going to make my connection, right?
Oh, right, because you have two planes. Okay.
And so I told the person at the counter, he's like, oh, well, let's see if I can get you down through Los Angeles or whatever. There wasn't any direct flights at that time from Vancouver to Vegas. So I had to go to another terminal and another ticket agent, and they were searching for me, like two of them were searching for me, Vancouver, Calgary, Calgary, or Vancouver, Seattle, Seattle, Vegas, or Vancouver, San Fran, Vegas. And I was supposed to arrive in Vegas at 9:30. Didn't arrive in the end. I went through Seattle on a little Dash 8 propeller plane, which you would have not liked either. And then Seattle to Vegas, and I arrived at about 11:30. So I arrived at the hotel, and my sister's down there for a conference, right? That's why I went down for points. And she was staying at the Venetian, which is, like, swanky.
It's nice, yeah.
It is, and the suite was the nicest hotel room I have ever stayed in. Hence,
wow.
I don't think I will ever stay in a nicer hotel, because I can't afford anything like that, right? But
yeah.
It was amazing, and I really do thank my sister for convincing me to take the plunge and to go down for those days. I probably should have stayed for an extra day. I probably should have come down on Tuesday instead of Wednesday. But she was already there on Tuesday.
Right.
But I just didn't want to take that much time off of work. Because I just come back from Toronto and Ottawa, right? So I didn't want to do two trips so close together. But the worst thing is I had to get out of customs, out of the secure area in Vancouver, go back and check in through U.S. Customs in Vancouver. Because if I was going Vancouver, Calgary, Calgary, Las Vegas, I would have checked into the U.S. Customs in Calgary, right? So I was just in the domestic terminal.
Okay.
And when I went to check in at the U.S. terminal for Air Canada, the guy was like, you were on that plane that was delayed in Calgary, or it had that incident. I'm like, yeah. What the hell did they do? I'm like, what do you mean? That plane actually goes Vancouver, Calgary, Calgary, Vegas. So you wouldn't have missed your flight because that's your plane.
I don't get that.
Well, apparently everyone flies to Calgary, everyone gets out, checks into the US customs, and comes back onto the same plane. And then that same plane goes to Vegas.
So it went anyway.
Yeah. So I didn't need to do all that amazing race adventure to try to rebook a ticket.
Wow.
And they didn't even know that, like, at the ticket booth. I'm like, oh, jeez.
Oh, that's typical.
But,
yeah.
You know, so then, I mean, so I didn't take my family, all my cousins' advice, and I did sleep when Wednesday night, because I got there at midnight, got to the Venetian, checked into the hotel. Vanessa and I had some food at one of the food court areas in the Venetian. Classy food court.
Wow.
And then we walked around the Venetian, which have, you know, all the painted skies and
the
canal and all
the
shops and everything. All the shops were closed, but it was just nice to look around.
And
then we walked out a bit. And actually, I was taking a picture of this neon sign at McDonald's, just because I felt like taking a picture of a neon sign at McDonald's. And I was waiting, and there's, like, the open-air drunkenness is quite surprising. Not surprising, but quite... I'm not used to
that,
right?
You're not when you go there the first time.
And everyone's like, you know, it's not like beers or wine bottles in paper bags.
It's just
out, right?
Yeah.
And I'm waiting to take this picture of this McDonald's neon sign. And these two guys come out, walking kind of slowly. I'm like, come on, guys, hurry up. I don't want you in my shot. I mean, they're both wearing cotton hoodies.
Right.
And one hoodie has, like, a pattern of a skeleton on his front, right? So, like, classy, right?
Yeah, total.
And he's, like, taking forever. He finally gets out of the shot. I take the picture. And then he goes to my sister, hey, Asia. And just walks away. So I call Vanessa Asia for the rest of the trip. I basically woke up Thursday morning, and from Thursday morning basically to the time I left Friday afternoon, stayed up. Vanessa crashed at about 3:45 in the morning, which is when that's when I put in a little note on Facebook, and where Kevin
both
razzed me about
hilarious.
What's an all-nighter when you're doing Facebook,
right? How does that figure into that? Yeah.
But I stopped midway at like 4 in the morning. I had a nice bubble bath. I know it's not really the most manly thing to do, but you're in this gigantic hotel room with, like, the biggest bathroom ever.
Right.
And
you gotta take advantage.
You gotta take advantage. And there's a TV, so I watched CNN and took a bubble bath, and then I kind of dozed off on the couch for about an hour, and then we were up and running, and we did the buffet, which is the last part of the experience to do.
Yes.
And that night, actually, Thursday night, we went to a nice dinner at the Paris Hotel.
Nice hotel.
And just outside, and at this bistro called Mon Ami Gabi.
Okay.
And it's not, like, the most expensive restaurant, because it's not, like, you know, a famous
chef,
right?
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's not the cheapest, right? It's actually a sit-down steakhouse,
mm-hmm.
French cuisine. Mm-hmm. And it's across from the Bellagio, so you got to see all the water fountain
nice.
Show.
Yep.
And then we saw Cirque du Soleil
Yes.
Which was a technical marvel. Like, it is amazing how there's a pool of water on the stage, and then within 10 seconds there's not water.
Yeah.
It's all dry. And then it's wet again, and half it, then it's a third of a pool, and two-thirds land. And, you know, it's spectacular, but absolutely incomprehensible. I didn't get it at all. The music was kind of John Tesh-y, and the interpretive stuff. Like, every so often there was a horse from a carousel that would come down, and guards who looked like the red guards of the Emperor in Return of the Jedi, you know, and they would do little dance, and it would make absolutely no sense.
It's so strange.
I didn't get it. But I didn't buy the program either, so there probably is some explanation to it. But it was just, I was completely taken aback at how impressive it was. Like, they must all be, like, former Olympians or something.
Oh,
so
I'm sure.
Stuff
I'm
like
sure.
that.
Yeah.
But yeah, oh, and I won $3.40
okay.
in Vegas, yes.
Okay.
The Canucks won, and I did a little bit of a sports betting, thanks to Mike. He suggested I do that. And, but yeah, it was a pretty wicked experience, if I can use a term from the early 90s. And
I use it all the time. Wicked cool. That's what I always say.
Wow. I don't know what to say about that. But the fun, I mean, and it just, you think about the excessive living, you know, and all, like there is no business any of that should really be there, you know,
yeah.
And it's not necessarily the most sustainable kind of community.
No.
And given that I work in nonprofit, and I think about, you know, I'm a heavy recycler, and I think about all the sustainability, like, all those issues are really important to me. Like,
mm-hmm.
I kind of felt slightly guilty for enjoying myself so much, but,
yeah.
like,
you just had to do
you
it.
Can't help but
indulge.
Feel happy. Like,
yeah.
when the plane came in, like, almost midnight, and we're landing in your taxiing to the terminal, and you see the strip, it's right next to you, and there's the Luxor with the giant beam up, and the Mandalay Bay, and all that sort of stuff. You're like, I kind of went,
yeah, how many movies
like,
show that, right?
Yeah, it was pretty spectacular.
Going into Vegas, it's like the ultimate highlight.
And then when I was leaving, and I had another awful experience leaving Vegas, I got ripped off by a cabbie, but that's another story, I won't really get into that. But I'm waiting there at the terminal, and all these flights are coming in, right? And I just sprayed you, sorry, with my...
oh, I didn't notice. I'm dry, I'm good.
Good.
Sort of like O.
Sort of
wet
like
and
O.
Dry.
But, and all, because it's a Friday afternoon, right? So all of the flights were coming in, and there's at least, every flight had two, maybe three brides-to-be with their veils coming off the plane with their girlfriends, and
right.
it's, they're all taking pictures in front of the terminal, giggling, and just starting their weekend of stag at debauchery, you know?
Right.
Like, it was,
it's pretty original.
It's pretty, yeah, original. But, I mean, I'm sitting there listening.
But it's fun.
Yeah, it's like... You know, I have my iPod on, just watching it all happen. Like, yeah, it's kind of neat, you know? Like,
nice.
I can see why it's a real draw, you know?
Oh, for sure.
And there's a lot of, like, brides walking around that I saw, you know, getting who are actually married, and they're in their wedding dress on, like, a Thursday or Friday, you know, just at the hotel and stuff like that. So, and
yeah.
every hotel has a sign that goes to whatever wedding chapel, right? So, I was impressed. I mean, exactly what I was thinking it was going to be, the exact kind of experience and you know other little things happened here and there, but I mean people say, you know, whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, but what I just said is kind of what happened.
Yeah.
And it's hard to be kind of crazy when you're with your sister.
Well,
but I mean, my sister and I we get along so well,
and we do
a lot together anyways whenever we're together, and we just had a great time, but it wasn't like, you know, crazy. We didn't see like the Thunder Down Under or whatever, which my cousin said I should see. And actually, it's funny because they have it's the Thunder Down Under, which, and when my cousin said that, I said, she said, do you know what that is? And I said, well, I'm assuming it's Australian Beefcake Dancers, which is pretty much as it is, right?
Right.
And they have a stage. It's called the Thunder Down Under Theater.
Okay.
Right? And it's at the Excalibur. But I don't think they were playing that week or something, or maybe the alternate days, because who was playing in that theater was Louis Anderson.
Oh, wow.
Which is totally opposite spectrum of beefcake Australian strippers.
It's weird. I think Family Feud.
Yes.
But
playing
I don't
the
think
Feud,
it's
or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Come on. Play the Feud.
But that's Vegas in a nutshell, and I've taken up too much time. Tell me about San Fran.
San Fran. San
yes.
Fran is awesome. It's actually a lot like Vancouver.
Except hill. Oh, actually, Vancouver's hilly.
It's hilly. Well, yeah, but it's way hillier. Like, excuse me. Burp. It is a really fun place. You know, a lot of people who live in San Fran always laugh at tourists because they always show up in shortened t-shirts and they don't realize how windy and cold and nasty it can be sometimes. But out of the 4-day trip, it was bookended by nice days and two
good
days that were quite rainy and cold, but you know, you are still having fun and yeah, we basically do what we always do when we tour cities is we pack it in. Yeah, I mean, we did quite a bit, but I wouldn't say it was like the ultra like crazy pace that I've done in the past, but it was a pretty good pace, and I'm happy that we held it up. So first day, shopped, walked around, ate some great food, check out some stores that Elaine and I actually been to before, like in the Haight-Ashbury area, Villains and Kid Robot and all that kind of stuff, and picked up some things, and...
Did you go to that bookstore that you were...
Oh, yes, we did. You know, City Lights is cool. I mean, it's a bookstore, you know? I mean, it's not going to be this kind of huge revelation or anything, but they actually had a lot of books there that I was just like, wow, I haven't seen this anywhere. They had areas where you can just pick a book and sit down and read as long as you want. And they had a downstairs that was really cool. It's kind of like a cellar kind of type area. They had extra books and all these different types of subjects and very, very progressive, which I like, you know, very, I guess you could say left, but I think it, you know, it's just, it's, I guess a lot of counterculture stuff, which they're known for.
Right.
I just grazed and looked around, and it was just cool to be there, knowing how historical it is.
So you were actually grazing on books and eating the paper?
Grazing books, yeah. That's what I do when I go to bookstores.
Nice. Yeah. What is that term? Like is it
browsing?
Is it just browsing?
I think, well, I could have said browse, yeah. Grazing is like you're eating.
Yeah.
But I don't eat books, but...
No? Okay.
No.
Graze. I guess, yeah. Anyways, I'm focusing on words for some reason.
It was kind of a weird term, but... and then, yeah, the next couple days were kind of rainy. The Saturday was really exciting because we went to a restaurant called the Rubicon, which I have to say was some of the best service I've ever experienced in a restaurant. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, like, I love good experience, like a good, service experience.
Okay.
As almost as much as the food. It sounds weird, but I almost prefer mediocre food, but like really great service.
Okay.
As opposed to really awesome food with horrible service. It's kind of weird. It almost makes your food taste
You know
bad.
What I really like? Great food
and great
service.
I know. Well, yes.
Say that.
Obviously the ultimate, of course. But they were both, actually.
Okay.
The food
good.
Was outstanding. They helped us choose
So what's
the
name of the show again?
The Rubicon.
The Rubicon. We'll link to that.
Yes, we definitely will. It was great. It was like, the restaurant wasn't your typical restaurant. Like, it felt like being in an old apartment building that they kind of just renovated, or a small little art gallery. Like, we were in a nice upstairs, and and the atmosphere was great, and there was actually other people there, so you know, it wasn't one of those times, you know, like on a cold rainy night when you go to a restaurant and like no one else is there, but it was a Saturday night, so right in the middle of Little Saigon there. And in fact, that day we had some of the best Vietnamese sandwiches ever.
Oh,
right in Little Saigon there.
Nice.
So that was good.
Adequately
and
stinky?
They were
nice. Good.
Yes, they actually were, because it took us an hour to get home to eat them. Because we're on the cable cars, and we're, like, waiting in the rain, and finally got home, we're all starved, really cold,
So is the cable car experience quintessentially San Francisco, or is it just like ho-hum?
Like, oh no, it's San Fran.
Yeah, it's neat.
In fact, there was our third time there, free lane myself, and we had never done the cable cars until this time. So I was really excited to do it, because before we were just literally passing through and spending like an afternoon, but this time we got to experience it, and it was just fantastic. So I have some pictures which I can post of that.
Nice.
And the probably one of the best highlights was the next day we went to Napa Valley. So
you and your wine.
Yes. Steve and I are trying a bunch of wines. And
so you feel you're evolving your palate?
I do.
Good.
Actually.
Nice.
Yeah, well,
I make fun of you all the time about that, but I think it's great.
Yeah, well, it's one of those things that I haven't made like a huge focus on, you know, like a real determination to do that, but over the last few years especially, I think I've been able to like tell certain grapes without knowing beforehand like what grape it is, the different characteristics, tannins, dry, you know, different flavors, like fruit, asparagus,
right,
you know, things like that. And we tried four wineries, which were really cool. One of them was not so hot. All the wines that Steve and I tried that day at that place, rather, weren't that great. Kept pouring it out. But the other three places were outstanding. And we took some wine bottles back. They survived the cargo luggage.
Nice. And did the... like I was talking to Steve and Jenny, because they stayed a little bit later after everyone left on Sunday, and I was asking them about the trip,
yeah.
And they were saying how they were curious about, one, whether or not your wine survived, and two, whether or not, I guess one of the wineries, you got to bring the glasses home or something?
That's right.
And did they survive?
Yes.
Nice.
Elaine is a packing genius.
And they sort of mentioned something about you came back with diapers. Did you seriously you bought diapers to
do
packing? I never would think of that.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, we had four bottles, and they were really special bottles. We bought them at the last place we went,
okay,
which was Peugeot, which I'll send a link to.
Good.
And that place rocks. The guy there was really engaging, and he helped sell it. Like, it was the best tasting wines, but just the whole experience was great. It was kind of very sideways, even though I didn't drink out of the spitting bucket, but... it was very, very, very cool to be there. And so Elaine's like, yeah, no, we need to pack these up really well. So we bought diapers at Safeway across the street.
Right, and you can't even bring them carry-on because they're over
the
equipment.
That's the whole thing.
Yeah, I just clued into that just now.
Oh, really?
I didn't even think
about
that. Because I'm like, why don't you just carry it on? Right, you can't.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. You know, the thing about those airports is the taking off the shoes. I can't stand taking off the shoes. Because of one asshole, the whole planet going through U.S. airspace has to take off their shoes. It really kind of bothers me. But the wine survived. I forgot to mention that to Steve.
He now knows because he's an avid listener.
And so that was really great. And then the Monday we rented bikes, and it was a nice day again. Yes, out of all cities to rent bikes, we rented bikes in San Fran, where it's just like, you know, crazy steep hills everywhere. But in fact, the coastal bike routes, which are mainly along the coast, there's not really much inland.
Hence,
like here.
Why they call it coastal,
like,
I guess.
Hence why they call it coastal. They were actually reasonably level, and you're just enjoying the view of the beach and the water and the Golden Gate.
Nice.
And but then, as you go south along the bike path towards Golden Gate Park, it gets crazy hilly, and you're just like, oh my goodness. So... but well worth it. And you got to take in some great views of San Francisco from those peaks. You can't even believe how much it actually, like, it sprawls, like,
okay,
how far it reaches. So that, yeah, in a nutshell, it was
nice.
A fantabulous trip.
Nice.
And we really enjoyed ourselves, and I'm sure we'll do something like that again. And and I can't wait to go back to Vegas, because it's been 7 or 8 years this year for us, for Elaine and I, since we've been. So,
oh, wow.
So yeah, it was a good time when we went. We didn't stay in any of the big hotels, but we checked out the Venetians, so remember the canal, and we went to virtually every major hotel they have there to visit. But we stayed at the Westward Ho, which shares a name as yours there. But it was the oldest motel in Vegas.
Now, that's not on the Strip, I guess, or is...
It's actually near the edge of the strip, the new strip, that borders the old one. So it's between the two, essentially.
Oh, okay.
It's right down by Stardust. I don't know if Stardust is still there.
I don't know.
Circus?
Circus Circus, that's a bit... I never got to that point.
I
got as far away as the wind, which is the top of the, I guess, the new section of the strip.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, like MGM Grand, like that area, right? Like,
no, MGM Grand is on the way on the south side.
Oh, okay, so
yeah.
We were the opposite of MGM Grand.
The Stratosphere is all in that north end with Circus Circus and...
Oh, okay, that's where we were.
Las Vegas is up there, so...
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So we have yet to check out the old strip, which would be kind of cool one day, so... But yeah, that's that's pretty much it in a nutshell. I mean, we did a bunch of other things, but that was kind of the main highlights and...
Nice
hotel and great TV. We actually wanted to catch the Oscars, but we got home too late from the Napa. Oh, and then sorry, just on the way into Napa,
yes.
We ended up in Sonoma, which is actually west of Napa.
Okay,
it's actually the two big wine areas in California there.
Yes.
And we stopped into this little tourist info place, and we're like, "How do we get to Napa from this point? And can you just kind of guide us?" And she's like, "Well, I only grew up and play in Sonoma, but I'll show you how to get to Napa from here." And I was just like, "Okay, yes, ma'am, please." So I thought that was kind of funny. She was very exclusive to Sonoma, and I wonder what the competition's like. But I know they both have great wines. So.
Well, there's got to be, like, you know, neighborhood kind of a regional rivalries, I'm
sure.
Oh, sure,
yeah. I think so, but... I will send more links to Napa. Peju was the best one. And more San Fran links. I'll update my mutton chops. And photos, because they're kind of coming in.
Yeah, I'll put a few links to some of the stuff in Vegas, too.
Yeah, definitely post some Venetian stuff. And
yes.
Some of those other places you went to. I'd like to see an update on that stuff. That'd be great.
Cool. So we've crossed the 30-minute mark, a little bit over this time, but I think it was good because we got to explain, or got to help everyone relive all vacations. And,
yes.
And so any more trips for you, or you're kind of done for a while, you're not, you know, that's...
Hard to say.
There may still may be a tour, potentially, or no?
Potentially.
Potentially.
Something we're working on, the Nines.
Cool.
I'll send an update link of the Nines as well. And because we want to put out new music this year, and we will, that's a certainty. But we want to line it up with a tour, too. So
right.
If we don't tour, then we'll definitely look into other vacation options as well. So, yes, probably Europe is next, I think.
Well,
yeah.
I think there may be some trips, well, for business, some trips to other parts of Canada, but that's about it. I was thinking about my big vacation, but I just may take some time off because now that I have a huge, huge ass mortgage to pay, there is absolutely no money left for anything. such is the life of adulthood.
Yes, we're all 70%ers. No.
Yeah, hopefully you guys were entertained and... we'll do another one in a couple of weeks, and there's probably a lot of things happening, but in a couple of weeks from now, there should be the by-election in my neighborhood should be over,
right.
So we can talk, debrief about that.
I have lots to say about that.
Oh, and I wanted to catch that one debate that I was in town for, but I was so sick, I just, I was pretty much vomiting, you know, like that day, so I couldn't go.
Yeah. Cool. Okay, well, we'll do a post-by-election wrap-up. The next episode. Until then, you can check us out on thedotmatrix.com.
Right, good plug.
Yes, and I have lots of links to our vacation talk, as we mentioned, and other things. And yeah, so long, and be peaceful. And any last words there, Justin?
I think you said it all.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Bye.